75. True Glory. The Cosmere itself may depend upon our restraint.
At least speak with him, Dalinar,
Amaram said. The man walked quickly to match Dalinar's pace, his cloak of the Knight's Radiant billowing behind him, as they inspected the lines of troops loading up wagons with supplies for the trip out onto the shattered plains.
Come to an accommodation with Sarius before you leave. Please.
Dalinar, Navani, and Amaram passed a group of spearmen running to get into place with their battalion, which was counting ranks. Just beyond them, the men and women of the camp acted similarly excited. Kremlings scuttled this way and that, moving through pools of water left by the storm. Last night's high storm was the final one of the season. Sometime tomorrow the weeping would begin. Wet though it would be, it provided a window. Safety from storms, time to strike out. He planned to leave by midday.
Dalinar?
Amaram asked.
Will you talk to him?
Careful, Dalinar thought. Don't make any judgments just yet. This had to be done with precision. At his side, Navani eyed him. He'd shared his plans regarding Amaram with her. Dalinar began. A series of horns interrupted him, blaring above through the camp. They seemed more urgent than usual. A chrysalis had been spotted. Dalinar counted the rhythms, placing the plateau location. Too far, he said, pointing to one of his scribes, a tall, lanky woman that often helped Navani with her experiments.
Who is on the schedule for today's runs?
High Princes Sabariol and Roeon, sir, the scribe said, consulting her ledger.
Dalinar grimaced. Sabariol never sent troops, even when commanded. Roeon was slow.
Send the signal flags to tell those two that Jemhart is too far out to try for. We'll be marching for the Parshendi camp later today, and I can't have some of our troops splitting off and running for a Jemhart.
He made the order as if either man would commit any troops to his march. He had hopes for Roeon. Almighty send that the man didn't get frightened at the last minute and refused to go on the expedition. The attendant rushed away to call off the plateau run. Navani pointed to a group of scribes who were tabulating supply lists, and he nodded, stopping while she walked over to talk to the women and get an estimate on readiness.
Sarius won't like a Jemhart being left unharvested, Amaram said as the two of them waited. When he hears you called off the run, he'll send his own troops for it.
Sarius will do as he wishes, regardless of my intervention.
Each time you allow him to disobey openly, Amaram said, it drives a wedge between him and the throne.
Amaram took Dalinar by the arm.
We have bigger problems than you and Sarius, my friend. Yes, he betrayed you. Yes, he likely will again. But we can't afford to let the two of you go to war. The Voidbringers are coming.
How can you be certain of that, Amaram? Dalinar asked.
Instinct. You gave me this title, this position, Dalinar. I can feel something from the Stormfather himself. I know that a disaster is coming. Alethkar needs to be strong. That means you and Sarius working together.
Dalinar shook his head slowly.
No. The opportunity for Sarius to work with me has long since passed. The road to unity in Alethkar is not at the table of negotiation. It's out there.
Across the plateaus, to the Parshendi camp, wherever it was. An end to this war. Closure for both him and his brother. Unite them.
Sarius wants you to try this expedition, Amaram said. He's certain you will fail.
And when I do not, Dalinar said, he will lose all credibility.
You don't even know where you'll find the Parshendi,
Amaram said, throwing his hands into the air.
What are you going to do, just wander out there until you run across them?
Yes.
Madness! Dalinar, you appointed me to this position, an impossible position, mind you, with a charge to be a light to all nations. I'm finding it hard to even get you to listen to me. Why should anyone else?
Dalinar shook his head, looking eastward over those broken plains.
I have to go, Amaram. The answers are out there, not here. It's like we walked all the way to the shore, then huddled there for years, peering out at the waters but afraid to get wet.
But, enough!
Eventually, you're going to have to give away authority and let it stay given, Dalinar,
Amaram said softly.
You can't hold it all, pretending you aren't in charge, but then ignore orders and advice as if you were.
The words, problematically truthful, slapped him hard. He did not react. Not outwardly.
What of the matter I assigned you? Dalinar asked him.
Borden? Amaram said. So far as I can tell, his story checks out. I really think that the madman is only raving about having had a shard blade. It's patently ridiculous that he might have actually had one.
Right, Lord!
A breathless young woman in a messenger uniform, narrow skirt slit up the sides with silk leggings beneath, scrambled up to him.
The plateau!
Yes, Dalinar said, sighing. Sadeus is sending out troops.
No, sir,
the woman said, flush on the cheeks from her run.
He came out of the chasms!
Dalinar frowned, looking sharply toward her.
Who?
Stormblessed!
Dalinar ran the entire way. When he drew close to the triage pavilion at the edge of camp, normally reserved for tending to the wounded who came back from plateau runs, he had trouble seeing because of the crowd of men in cobalt-blue uniforms blocking the path. A surgeon was yelling for them to back up and give him room. Some of the men saw Dalinar and saluted, hastily pulling out of the way. The blue parted like waters blown in a storm. And there he was. Ragged, hair matted in snarls, face scratched and leg wrapped in an improvised bandage. He sat on a triage table, and had removed his uniform coat, which sat on the table beside him, tied into a round bundle with what looked like a vine wrapping it. Kaladin looked up as Dalinar approached, and then moved to pull himself to his feet.
Soldier, don't!
Dalinar began, but Kaladin didn't listen. He hauled himself up tall, using a spear to support his bad leg. Then he raised hand to breast, a slow motion, as if the arm were tied with weights. It was, Dalinar figured, the most tired salute he'd ever seen.
Sir,
Kaladin said. Exhaustion spread puffed around Kaladin like little jets of dust.
How?
Dalinar said.
You fell into a chasm.
I fell face first, sir,
Kaladin said.
Unfortunately, I'm particularly hard-headed.
But...
Kaladin sighed, leaning on his spear.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't really know how I survived. Some Spren were involved, we think. Anyway, I hiked back through the chasms. I had a duty to see to.
He nodded to the side. Farther into the triage tent, Dalinar saw something he hadn't originally noticed. Shallan Devar, a tangle of red hair and ripped clothing, sat amid a pack of surgeons.
One future daughter-in-law, Kaladin said. Delivered safe and sound. Sorry about the damage done to the packaging.
But there was a high storm, Dalinar said.
We really wanted to get back before that, Kaladin said. Ran into some troubles along the way, I'm afraid.
With lethargic movements, he took out his side knife and cut the vines off the package beside him.
You know how everyone kept saying there was a chasm fiend prowling about in the nearby chasms?
Yes.
Kaladin lifted the remnants of his coat away from the table, revealing a massive green gemstone. Though bulbous and uncut, the gem heart shone with a powerful inner light.
Yeah,
Kaladin said, taking the gem heart in one hand and tossing it to the ground before Dalinar.
We took care of that for you, sir.
In the blink of an eye, glory spren replaced his exhaustion spren. Dalinar stared mutely at the gem heart as it rolled and tapped against the front of his boot, its light almost blinding.
Oh, don't be so melodramatic, Bridgeman,
Shallan called.
Bright Lord Dalinar, we found the beast already dead and rotting in the chasm. We survived the high storm by climbing up its back to a crack in the side of the plateau where we waited out the rains. We could only get the gem heart out because the thing was half rotted already.
Kaladin looked to her, frowning. He turned back to Dalinar almost immediately.
Yes, Kaladin said. That's what happened.
He was a far worse liar than Shallan was. Amaram and Navani finally arrived, the former having remained behind to escort the latter. Navani gasped when she saw Shallan, then ran to her, snapping angrily at the surgeons. She fussed and bustled around Shallan, who seemed far less the worse for wear than Kaladin, despite the terrible state of her dress and hair. In moments, Navani had Shallan wrapped in a blanket to cover her exposed skin. Then she sent a runner back to prepare a warm bath and meal at Dalinar's complex, to be had in whichever order Shallan wished. Dalinar found himself smiling. Navani pointedly ignored Shallan's protests that none of this was necessary. The mother axe-hound had finally emerged. Shallan was apparently no longer an outsider, but one of Navani's clutch. And Channa helped the man or woman who stood between Navani and one of her own.
Sir, Kaladin said, finally letting the surgeons settle him back on the table. The soldiers are gathering supplies. The battalion's forming up. Your expedition?
You needn't worry, soldier, Dalinar said. I could hardly expect you to guard me in your state.
Sir, Kaladin said more softly. Brightness Shallan found something out there. Something you need to know. Talk to her before you set out.
I'll do so, Dalinar said.
He waited for a moment, then waved the surgeons aside. Kaladin seemed to be in no immediate danger. Dalinar stepped closer, leaning in.
Your men waited for you, Stormblessed. They skipped meals, pulled triple shifts. I half think they'd have sat out here at the head of the chasms through the high storm itself if I hadn't intervened.
They are good men, Kaladin said.
It's more than that. They knew you would return. What is it they understand about you that I don't?
Kaladin met his eyes.
I've been searching for you, haven't I? Dalinar said. All this time without seeing it.
Kaladin looked away.
No, sir. Maybe once. But I'm just what you see, and not what you think. I'm sorry.
Dalinar grunted, inspecting Kaladin's face.
He had almost thought, but perhaps not.
Give him anything he wants or needs, Dalinar said to the surgeons, letting them approach. This man is a hero. Again.
He withdrew, letting the bridgemen crowd around, which of course started the surgeons cursing at them again. Where had Amaram gone? The man had been here just a few minutes ago. As the palanquin arrived for Shallan, Dalinar decided to follow and find out just what it was that Kaladin said the girl knew.
1 hour later, Shallan snuggled into a nest of warm blankets, wet hair on her neck, smelling of flowered perfume. She wore one of Navani's dresses, which was too big for her. She felt like a child in her mother's clothing. That was perhaps exactly what she was. Navani's sudden affection was unexpected, but Shallan would certainly accept it. The bath had been glorious. Shallan wanted to curl up on this couch and sleep for 10 days. For the moment, however, she let herself revel in the distinctive feeling of being clean, warm, and safe for the first time in what seemed like an eternity. You can't take her, Dalinar. Navani's voice came from Pattern on the table beside Shallan's couch. She didn't feel a moment's guilt for sending him to spy on the two of them while she bathed. After all, they had been talking about her.
This map, Dalinar's voice said.
She can draw you a better map and you can take it.
She can't draw what she hasn't seen, Navani. She'll need to be there with us to draw out the center of the pattern on the plains. Once we penetrate in that direction.
Someone else,
nobody else, has been able to do this,
Dalinar said, sounding awed.
4 years, and none of our scouts or cartographers saw the pattern. If we're going to find the Parshendi, I'm going to need her. I'm sorry.
Shallan winced. She was not doing a very good job of keeping her drawing ability hidden. She just got back from that terrible place, Navani's voice said.
I won't let a similar accident occur. She will be safe.
Unless you all die, Navani snapped. Unless this entire expedition is a disaster, then everything will be taken from me. Again. Pattern stopped, then spoke further in his own voice. He held her at this point and whispered some things I did not hear. From there, they got very close and made some interesting noises. I can reproduce. No, Shallan said, blushing. Too private. Very well. I need to go with them, Shallan said. I need to complete that map of the Shattered Plains and find some way to correlate it with the Ancient Ones of Stormseat. It was the only way to find the Oath Gate. Assuming it wasn't destroyed in whatever shattered the plains, Shallan thought. And if I do find it, will I even be able to open it? Only one of the Knights Radiant was said to be able to open the pathway. Pattern, she said softly, clutching a mug of warmed wine. I'm not a Radiant, right?
I do not think so, he said. Not yet. There is more to do, I believe, though I cannot be certain.
How can you not know?
I was not me when the Knights Radiant existed. It is complex to explain. I have always existed. We are not born as men are, and we cannot truly die as men do. Patterns are eternal, as is fire, as is the wind, as are all spren. Yet I was not in this state. I was not aware.
You were a mindless spren? Shallan said. Like the ones that gather around me when I draw?
Less than that, Pattern said. I was everything. In everything. I cannot explain it. Language is insufficient. I would need numbers.
Surely there are others among you, though, Shallan said. Older cryptics? Who were alive back then?
No, Pattern said softly. None who experienced the bond.
Not a single one?
All dead, Pattern said. To us this means they are mindless, as a force cannot truly be destroyed. These old ones are patterns in nature now, like cryptics unborn. We have tried to restore them. It does not work. Perhaps if their knights still lived, something could be done.
Stormfather. Shallan pulled the blanket around her closer. An entire people? All killed?
Not just one people, Pattern said, solemn. Many. Spren with minds were less plentiful then, and the majorities of several Spren peoples were all bonded. There were very few survivors. The one you call Stormfather lived. Some others. The rest, thousands of us, were killed when the event happened. You call it the Recreants.
No wonder you're certain I will kill you.
It is inevitable, Pattern said. You will eventually betray your oaths, breaking my mind, leaving me dead. But the opportunity is worth the cost. My kind is too static. We always change, yes, but we change in the same way, over and over. It is difficult to explain. You, though, you are vibrant. Coming to this place, this world of yours, I had to give up many things. The transition was traumatic. My memory returns slowly, but I am pleased at the chance. Yes,
Only a Radiant can open the pathway, Shallan said, then took a sip of her wine. She liked the warmth it built inside of her. But we don't know why or how. Maybe I'll count as enough of a Radiant to make it work.
Perhaps, Pattern said. Or you could progress, become more.
There is something more you must do.
Words? Shallan said.
You have said the words, Pattern said. You said them long ago. No, it is not words that you lack. It is truth.
You prefer lies?
Yes, and you are a lie, a powerful one. However, what you do is not just lie. It is truth and lie mixed. You must understand both.
Shallan sat in thought, finishing her wine, until the door to the sitting room burst open, letting in Adolin. He stopped, wild-eyed, regarding her. Shallan stood up, smiling.
It appears that I have failed at properly... She cut off as he grabbed her in an embrace. Drat. She'd had a perfectly clever quip prepared, too. She'd worked on it during the entire bath. Still, it was nice to be held. This was the most physically forward he'd ever been. Surviving an impossible journey did have its benefits. She let herself wrap her arms around him, feel the muscles on his back through his uniform, breathe in his cologne. He held her for several heartbeats. Not enough. She twisted her head and forced a kiss, her mouth enclosing his, firm in his embrace. Adolin melted into the kiss and did not pull back. Eventually, though, the perfect moment ended. Adolin took her head in his hands, looking into her eyes, and smiled. Then he grabbed her in another hug and laughed that barking, exuberant laugh of his. A real laugh, the one of which she was so fond.
Where were you? She asked.
Visiting the other High Princes, Adolin said. One at a time, and delivering Father's final ultimatum. To join us in this assault, or forever be known as those who refused to see the Vengeance Pact fulfilled. Father thought giving me something to do would help distract me from... well, you.
He leaned back, holding her by the arms, and gave her a silly grin.
I have pictures to draw for you, Shallan said, grinning back. I saw a chasm fiend.
A dead one, right?
Poor thing.
Poor thing, Adolin said, laughing. Shallan, if you'd seen a live one, you'd have surely been killed.
Almost surely.
I still can't believe. I mean, you fell. I should have saved you. Shallan, I'm sorry. I ran for Father first.
You did what you should have, she said. No person on that bridge would have had you rescue one of us instead of your father.
He embraced her once more.
Well, I won't let it happen again. Nothing like it. I'll protect you, Shallan.
She stiffened.
I will make sure you aren't ever hurt, Adolin said fiercely. I should have realized that you could be caught in an assassination attempt intended for Father. We'll have to make it so that you aren't ever in that kind of position again.
She pulled away from him.
Shallan, Adolin said. Don't worry. They won't get to you. I'll protect you. I don't say things like that, she hissed. What?
He ran his hand through his hair.
Just don't, Shallan said, shivering. The man who did this, who threw that lever, is dead now, Adolin said. Is that what you're worried about? He was poisoned before we could get answers, though we're sure he belonged to Sadeus. But you don't need to worry about him.
I will worry about what I wish to worry about, Shallan said. I don't need to be protected.
But I don't, Shallan said.
She breathed in and out, calming herself. She reached out and took him by the hand.
I won't be locked away again, Adolin.
Again?
It's not important.
Shallan raised his hand and wove his fingers between her own.
I appreciate the concern. That's all that matters.
But I won't let you or anyone else treat me like a thing to be hidden away. Never. Never again.
Dalinar opened the door into his study, letting Navani pass through first, then followed her into the room. Navani looked serene, her face a mask.
"Child," Dalinar said to Shallan, "I have a somewhat difficult request to make of you."
"Anything you wish, Bright Lord," Shallan said, bowing. "But I do wish to make a request of you in turn."
"What is it?"
"I need to accompany you on your expedition." Dalinar smiled, shooting a glance at Navani. The older woman did not react. "She can be so good with her emotions," Shallan thought. "I can't even read what she's thinking. That would be a useful skill to learn." "I believe," Shallan said, looking back to Dalinar, "that the ruins of an ancient city are hidden on the shattered plains. Yasna was searching for them. So then must I."
"This expedition will be dangerous," Navani said. "You understand the risks, child?"
"Yes."
"One would think," Navani continued, "that considering your recent ordeal, you would wish for a time of shelter."
"Ah, I wouldn't say things like that to her, Aunt," Adolin said, scratching at his head. "She's kind of funny about them."
"It is not a matter of humor," Shallan said, lifting her head high. "I have a duty."
"Then I shall allow it,"
Dalinar said. He liked anything having to do with duty.
"And your request of me?" Shallan asked him. "This map," Dalinar said, crossing the room and holding up the crinkled map, detailing her path back through the chasms. "Navani's scholars say this is as accurate as any map we have. You can truly expand this? Deliver a map of the entire Shattered Plains?"
"Yes. Particularly if she used what she remembered of Amaram's map to fill in some details. But, Bright Lord, might I make a suggestion?"
"Speak."
"Leave your parshmen behind in the war camp," she said.
He frowned.
"I cannot accurately explain why," Shallan said. "But Yasna felt that they were dangerous, particularly to bring out onto the plains. If you wish my help, if you trust me to create this map for you, then trust me on this one single point. Leave the parshmen. Conduct this expedition without them."
Dalinar looked to Navani, who shrugged. "Once our things are packed, they won't be needed, really. The only ones inconvenienced will be the officers, who will have to set up their own tents."
Dalinar considered, chewing on her request.
"This comes from Yasna's notes?" Dalinar asked.
Shallan nodded. To the side, blessedly, Adolin piped in.
"She's told me some of it, Father. You should listen to her."
Shallan shot him a grateful smile.
"Then it shall be done," Dalinar said. "Gather your things and send word to your uncle Sabariel, Brightness. We're leaving within the hour. Without parchment."
The end of part 4.